What happens when the White House tells you to cut 10% from your discretionary spending? You might be able to make a deal if you're a large department, but for smaller agencies, that 10% cut is likely to have a serious impact on programs and personnel. Here with more is Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers, and this first budget that we're expecting from the Trump administration could be draconian, except for DOD, from what we're seeing, and perhaps Homeland Security.
Yeah, just earlier this week, we learned from OMB Director Mick Mulvaney that the budget this year includes $603 billion for defense spending, which is a $54 billion increase. And that means there's $54 billion coming from the non-defense discretionary spending, putting it at about $462 billion. Now, Mulvaney said this is just the early budget blueprint, includes some of the president's promises to strengthen the military, protect national borders, and help veterans. And if it does seem a little late in the calendar for this, that's normal for a transition year. Usually, the budget talks start back in like the fall and Christmas time, and now, and they, you know, put out the really big phone book size budget in early February. But because there's been a transition, we're just getting the skinny budget, is what Mulvaney says.
So there's a second pass back really going on now.
Yes, that's what's happening now. Now it gets into the deal making. Agencies got their own top line numbers this week, and now it's up to them to go back and look at what OMB proposed, which is basically a 10 to 11% cut on spending.
Do we have any indication at this point about how agencies might begin to cut 10%?
That is a good question, and that's where things get kind of tricky. So again, this is something agencies every year have to deal with. They get a budget that tells them you either have to hold at a certain spending level or spend less. And what makes this different is that this 10% is a really steep cut, and not every agency has, you know, places to shave off a little bit of this fat before it gets into territory that makes headlines for us, but stuff that not everyone likes, like the federal workforce and cutting there.
Because the budget guidance from the Obama administration for 2017 and 2018 did have either hold the line or 1% reductions in, it, I guess, what they called administrative spending.
Right.
But I think they wanted to leave personnel and grants and contracting mostly intact.
Yes, that's what everybody always hopes. You want to be able to keep people employed, and you want to be able to give money to state and local governments. But let's start first with how agencies go through their spending when they get their top line and have to go back and take out a red pen. I spoke with Danny Werfel. He's the former controller at the Office of Management and Budget under Obama, and he said agencies will look at their mission, activities, programs, and weigh where the cuts should be based on factors, that what would make the best trade-off in decisions and hurting as few amount of people as possible.
You really kind of look at it in terms of priorities, and you try to determine, you know, which activities need to be protected from cuts because they're having the highest impact. You know, they're absolutely mission critical. It would cause too much disruption to the agency mission to cut these versus others. There are, you know, usual suspects, like training and things like that. And a lot of people will make the case that, you know, or even like hiring, hiring freezes in order to, you know, in other words, if let's say you had spots open, like FTE slots that hadn't been filled, and you might say, well, right, so the first thing is we're going to freeze training dollars. We're going to freeze. We're going to create a higher bar if you're going to do discretionary travel. We're not going to hire these slots. All of that, not all the time, but sometimes can come up as some of the low-hanging fruit when you're trying to absorb a cut.
That was Danny Werfel, former controller at OMB.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers, and I wanted to ask you about something he mentioned, which is training. And this seems to be a perennial, and can that have much effect? And are agencies going to cut that first? Do we have any indications yet?
Yeah, well, Werfel said that people kind of get upset when training is one of the first things to get cut. You want people to know how to do their job and do it well. You want to make sure they know what to check for when they're deciding whether or not some new food on the market is safe, you know, over at USDA, or that our transportation systems are safe and are also moving fast enough for us to travel on them.
It also relates to strategic human capital management,
right?
Having people with the right skills, and that's something that has put that whole all government-wide, that's on the GAO's high-risk list.
Yeah, and you know, so you look at that and you go, oh, training, it's okay, we'll be fine. But it's really the stuff that down the road you realize, oh gosh, in 9 months when we're seeing another IG report that something has gone wrong due to no training. So it's these early cuts that you don't really realize the impact of until down the road. I also spoke with David Hahn. He's with Grant Thornton, but he used to work at OMB during the creation of the Homeland Security Department. And he said given the level of spending cuts for some smaller agencies, 10% savings could mean like a 20% cut to personnel, since you have to go through the appeals process and severance and all those financial strings that come with letting people go. So it's not just 10%, okay, let's do the haircut and it's over. Hahn said some areas that agencies might try to cut are large state and local grants programs, which you had mentioned earlier, but that might not go too far since members of Congress obviously are very supportive of these programs in their home states.
So is anybody going to be happy in the budget process? Well, we mentioned DOD.
Yeah. Aside from DOD, kind of yes and no. It's budget time, which means everyone is going to have to tighten their belts in some way, or at least feel tightening from another agency. But the way David Hahn explained it, both OMB and agencies know this is a regular sort of dance between what they're willing to give up and what they can't go without.
This is a time of transition. There's a lot of things moving around. So I suspect there will be a negotiation, if you will, between the agencies and OMB. But the overall goals here seem pretty well defined. If in fact, the $50 billion has to come out of non-defense discretionary, then there's going to be some, quote, sausage making, maybe to find a way to get that much of a cut. At the same time, put forth a realistic budget that could be enacted and actually implemented.
That was David Hahn from Grant Thornton. Up next, there's this pass pack going on between agencies and OMB that should end around mid-March, and then we'll see what happens in May. I should also mention that there is a continuing resolution that we still have to deal with that expires April 28th, and that should get a little bit tricky since Congress is out for the first 2 weeks in April.
Well, the smart money has that being simply extended for the rest of the fiscal
right.
year. And the thing we didn't talk about yet, which is something for another day, but once the administration gets its agreement among itself of what it's going to submit, there's a little, David Hahn mentioned, sausage making. There's a sausage grinder called Congress.
Yeah. Now and then it has to go through that whole process. So there's definitely time ticking, and we'll have to see what happens in May.
Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers, appreciate the update.
Thanks, Tom.
And you can read her story and all of our coverage of the comings and goings in the Trump administration, the first 100 days, at federalnewsradio.com.